Tonight we want to continue with some of the thoughts that we've had about the Holy Spirit of God. A while back started a little bit of a study, maybe a verse study, whatever you want to call it, about all the verses in the Bible in the New Testament where Spirit is capitalized, meaning that that's then a proper noun and is a name given to something very specifically. And in this case, it's talking about the Holy Spirit of God. So we want to look in Galatians tonight and continue with some of those verses that we got from that. Galatians, the third chapter. And we'll make maybe just some points about the Holy Spirit. We'll just write this on the board. All right, the precious Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, we put the word in precious because it's a great value. It's the most value to us. We don't have anything going with us through this life of greater value than the Holy Spirit to us. And some of our purpose in study, in this study, is to bring out those things, to just stir up our minds and maybe even expand our minds and our understanding of all that the Holy Spirit does for us. And what the Holy Spirit does for us, there is not another individual, being, or vehicle that can do those things for us. The Lord commissioned the Holy Spirit to do these things. There are a lot of supplements. People have had to try to supplement with doctrine, with man's authority, with man's wisdom, but there is nothing that can supplement the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So as we study this and we see something else that the Holy Spirit does, let's understand that it's the only thing that can do that in our life. So we want to seek the Holy Spirit of God, and the bare bones of that is that in doing that, we're acknowledging there's something that the Lord does through His Holy Spirit in our life that can't be done any other way. In other words, we need Him. We have to have Him. We can't accomplish what we're going to read about tonight, any of these things, without Him. So then we begin to become more and more desperate in understanding how much we need Him. And the good news about that is a verse that we'll end up with again in Luke 11, where it says that if someone truly asks the Lord for His Holy Spirit, not just saying, hey, yeah, that sounds like a good deal, but going, you know what, I understand, I've got to have something besides myself, then He promised He would give the Holy Spirit to us. So thank the Lord for that. So let's look in Galatians, the third chapter. And we're going to read, let's read down to the third verse. Does someone want to read verses 1 through 3 there for us?
O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?
Okay, so this is the first part we want to look at here and delve into, and specifically the line where it says, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? We have two options in life. Can anybody tell two options that we can let control our life? What are those options?
We can be led of the Holy Spirit.
We can be led of the Holy Spirit. That's one option we have in life, is to allow this. Allow God, through His Holy Spirit, to work in our life. Because even before we truly receive the Spirit, it's still the Lord by His Spirit that's calling out to us. So we can listen to His Spirit and follow the Lord through that in our life. Or, what's our other option?
Follow the flesh.
Follow the flesh. Who pulls on the flesh? ourselves, and what's the ultimate being behind that has access to that and can work through that?
The devil does.
The devil. So we understand that our flesh is something that's weak and that has struggles and can't accomplish the will of God. That's why the law was weak through the flesh. But even flesh that we don't view quite as evil is still the vehicle by which Satan is able to work in our lives. So if we're trying to live this life in the flesh somehow without the Spirit of God, we're giving access to Satan to pull our lives in a wrong direction. So that's our two options we basically have. Something I want to throw in here. I know that some of us have been filled with the Spirit. Some of us are younger and coming to that. Even if we're not filled with the Spirit, we can still follow His leadings in our life. It doesn't mean if you don't have the Spirit, if you've not been sanctified yet, that you're just left to the devil. That's not what that means. What we're talking about here is how we choose to try to allow God's righteousness to be accomplished in our life. Do we allow it through His power working in us and learn how to follow Him and listen to His direction? Or do we look at what we deem as righteousness and we try to accomplish it ourselves without submitting to God, without submitting to a higher power, without giving control to a higher power? So, for instance, if you've truly been washed in the blood, then you only were washed in the blood and forgiven of your sins because you yielded to the Lord's call in your life. You said, "Yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. I hear you calling me. I hear you putting your finger on things in my life. And Lord, I want something different. Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done." And in that moment, when you truly come to that place where the Lord, where you acknowledge that you are a sinner and only that there's got to be a power beside you, His name is Jesus, that can forgive you and wash you clean, then you can be saved. That's the Lord calling to you through His Spirit in your life, and you're listening to it. Another way people might try to right that situation is to go out and try to just stop doing what they're doing that they know is wrong and just continue to try to figure out how to live a moral life, never coming to the point where they say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. That's what I am. I'm helpless. I want to be forgiven. Lord, will you wash me and make me clean?" See, there's that difference in how we handle the same situation and what we're hearing about ourselves that makes the difference to the Lord being able to work His work in our life. Well, it's the same thing as we continue on with Him. And as it says here, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect? Have you been washed clean and now you're going to be made perfect? Because all of a sudden you're going about to establish your own righteousness and prove how perfect you can be? Or are you still saying, "Lord, if you don't help me, then I'm going to fall again"? Because that's the truth of what's going to happen in our life. And that's the difference of listening to God and submitting to Him and not. So he's asking the question here, have you begun in the Spirit? Were you washed clean by listening to God and submitting to His call in your life? Now all of a sudden you're going to make yourself perfect through your own abilities? No. It's the work of the Spirit in your life. You still, once you're saved, now more than ever, you need to listen to God. Now more than ever, there's even more that He can do in your life. But it takes allowing Him to do it is the only way that it can be accomplished. This word made perfect here means to fulfill further. So you've been saved, you've been washed clean. Now there's a lot more things that God wants to do in your life, but they're not happening unless you're allowing God to do it. Recognizing it's not going to be accomplished by your abilities. It's only going to be accomplished by Him and listening to Him and ultimately allowing His Spirit to come dwell inside of you and being sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Any thoughts or anything anybody wants to share about that part? I know I'm not going to ask for testimonies, but I know that when I faced one of these situations in my life, I had spent a lot of years, I've given testimony to this, but I spent a lot of years there being a sin, a particular sin in my life that I fell to over and over. And I spent years trying to think of all the ways that I can make that stop and trying all these attempts. And not one of them worked. Until I said, Lord, I am going to fall again and again and again. I will not make it unless you give me something besides myself to accomplish this, to get the victory over this in my life. And the Lord gave me power. The Lord gave me His Holy Spirit. This actually happened pretty early on in my relationship, very early on, actually. You know, this testimony there. But that's when the power came. All the other times I've been saved and just tried to go out and stop doing things, it didn't work. But when the Lord gave me His Spirit, He perfected those things and He fulfilled further what He was trying to do in my life. Not just forgive me, but give me victories and power over Satan. So that's something that is the work of the Spirit. All the things that you've gotten saved and all the things that God wants to do with you, they're only done through His Holy Spirit working in your life. We need to seek the Spirit of God. We need to ask Him to come in. We need to seek to understand how to allow Him to do that in our life, to give Him the liberty to work in ourselves. And as we submit to the Lord, we will find that He's faithful to do that and help us to know how to allow His Spirit to work in our life. Okay, let's read on down now. And let's look to the 4th and the 5th verse here. Can someone read those for us?
Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?
Okay. So maybe it would be good, too, to write these on the board so we can kind of track. Because we're going to track several things tonight, Lord willing, that the Spirit does for us. So the first thing is that He fulfills further the work of God in our life. And the second thing is that He is an enabler. He enables our ministry. All right, and this isn't just for me. All of us here, the Lord has a ministry. This isn't just some kind of like positive kind of motivational speech. The Lord has a ministry for all of us to do. To minister is to be a servant. You are a servant of the gospel. As a child of God, you are a servant of the gospel, and He's got a particular part He wants you to play. No matter how old, how young you are, to the oldest person, from the youngest, the Lord has a ministry for you. Well, you're not going to accomplish this ministry through your own means or your own understanding or your own seeking it out. The Spirit is what equips you and enables you to do whatever the ministry is that God has for you. I might have done something talking, possibly, as my ministry, as I thought about it in my head, but it wouldn't have been this. Because this isn't even the way I really, if I was to use my own wisdom, I can do okay in a back and forth conversation, but this kind of thing is not it. But the Lord has called me to this, and so He's equipping me, and He's still growing me and teaching me. And I want to keep depending on Him with all my heart, because that's the only way this is going to work. All right, it's like that with every bit of a ministry in our life, whatever it is. The Spirit is what enables that ministry. Let's pick a few verses here to kind of reinforce that. Jeremiah 23 and 21 through 22. Can somebody get those and read them for us? Yes.
I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned from them, or them from their evil way and from the evil of their doing.
So this could be some people who just decided to be prophets. But these also could have been people, like we know, that were used in prophecy by God at times in their lives, whichever the case was, because you know that occurred. If we think about stories in the Old Testament where there was a prophet who kind of thought, veered away from really listening to God, okay? So this could have been either situation, but the point being is that in this situation, they stepped away from being moved by God. They stepped away to just perform their prophetic office in their own wisdom or their own desires, their own purposes. It doesn't work. You can't step away from the direct inspiration of God and succeed in your ministry. It has to come as God pushes you, as He directs you. How does He do that? In the Old Testament, we have prophets. In the New Testament, we have His Holy Spirit through His Son. And His Holy Spirit is what will send us to do whatever the work is that He wants us to do. So if He's sending you somewhere and you don't really like it, put a smile on and go. Because that's where the Lord is going to use you. You can do like Jonah and say, well, I think I'd rather go over here. And it's not going to work out. The ministry's not going to work out. But you could go somewhere where you feel so out of place and so feeble. And if you go as the Lord directs you, then there will be something happening. Like it says here, if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. All the success you're going to have in the ministry of the gospel is going to come from learning to follow the Spirit of God, submitting to it. It has to come that way. It can't come any other way. Y'all, there's so many things we want to learn about the Spirit. As we learn, there's no getting around just submitting to the Lord and yielding to Him and allowing Him to work as He wants to in your life and at the pace He wants to. And that can mean speeding you up a little bit or slowing you down, whatever it is that He's trying to do. I will say my experience is that the Lord doesn't have a cruise control. I've never experienced that, and I believe in lives I've seen successful, I haven't seen cruise control. Sometimes you're going at this rate and things are really moving, and sometimes God slows it down a little bit. But all that matters is letting Him have control of that steering wheel and of that gas pedal in your life. Because if He does, then you're going to see things happen that you didn't think were possible, because the Lord's going to be doing His work for you. First, another verse about the enablement of your ministry, 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. And actually, we might read the 10th and 11th verses here.
Every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. May God in all things may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
So, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. And we're going to read a verse here that's going to bring that all together. But the Lord gives the ability He gives through His Spirit in your life. That's where it comes from. Directly from Him. Remember, this isn't, the Lord's not setting the Spirit up over here to go and do some work. The Spirit is the vehicle between God and us. As it says, when Jesus was talking about the Spirit, He says He will share all things because He's with me in the Father, and the Father will give Him what to give to you, just like He gave Jesus what to give to us while Jesus was here on the earth. So this verse here is telling us, if you're going to be successful, if you're going to speak for the Lord, if you're going to minister and serve It's not just that you're serving. Look to serve where God has put you and where he's gotten you, because then you're going to see there'll be a difference in your life. You know what he may put you in? I think about the time that the Lord gave me in home health. One thing I tell people is that I've been in houses with three stories and an elevator. And I've been in houses where I was standing on the joist so I didn't go through the floor, and stories about snakes coming up through the floor in these people in these people's houses. You know, the Lord knows where he wants to put you, and he'll probably use you in a lot of different places. You're not, if you're going in your own ability, first off, you're not going to really accomplish what he has, but you're bound to what you're comfortable with, to what, you know, to what you feel knowledgeable about. But in the Lord, you can go where you really have never been, and the Lord can use you if he's sending you there. If you're speaking as he tells you to speak, and you're serving as he tells you to serve. And he does that through his Holy Spirit work in our life, because that's the vehicle from him to us. And all right, let's look over in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. One more verse here about enabling the ministry, your ministry. All right, and we'll read maybe verses 7 through 11 here in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians.
The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophesying, to another discerning of spirits,
kinds of tongues, another the interpretation of tongues, and all these work that one and the self-same Spirit, the guiding to every man, severely all as he will. Okay. So here is the verse that takes those others we put together that didn't really say the Spirit, but it puts it all together. This is the vehicle by which the Lord gives his ministry and guides his ministry. And yes, his pulpit ministry, but also the ministry of his saints, all of them. This is the vehicle by which he does it, by which he puts the different gifts out there. So one of the things that I hear is, why don't we see more miracles? Why don't we see more of this? Why don't we see more of that? You know, the Lord will do all of those things if we learn to be led by his Spirit. He'll do them just as they need to be done. We can leave the amounts to him. We may never see another miracle. That's okay. What matters is, if we don't see another miracle in the flesh, let it be because we followed the Spirit of God and he saw fit not to give one. Don't let it be because we're trying to establish and do things ourselves and make things happen. Let it be because we're submitting ourselves to the Lord and he's doing whatever he sees necessary. Because when it's like that, then whatever God sees can be accomplished will absolutely be accomplished. But it all comes from his Spirit, who divides to every man as he will. All right. So this is the verses I kind of had about enabling your ministry. So does anybody have any thoughts about that? Or if you want to reach back to him fulfilling his work further in your own life, like we talked about at first, that's okay too. Does anybody have any thoughts they want to share? All right. We have, maybe we'll try to do one more. I know we're getting a little close on time. We have a couple more things here to share, but let's just see. Let's go with this. Galatians, the 5th chapter. All right. And we'll read the 1st through the 5th verse.
Fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I call saying to you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law and you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith.
Okay. So, the Spirit is the one who can lead us in the path to righteousness. And this is so important. One of the things devoid in the world is teaching that a Christian should fulfill the righteousness of God. That should be what we see coming out of our life as the Lord grows in us, that we should see His righteousness more and more manifested out of us. So that's something I think we teach. Most of us who grew up here probably kind of got a hold of that we're supposed to follow the laws of God and we're not supposed to do things that are opposite of them. We're not supposed to live in unrighteousness. All right? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, and these verses bear this out. If you look back at them when I say this, so I want to get a hold of this. Christ's sacrifice on the cross and the resulting salvation as you come to believe in it, accept it for the forgiveness of your sins, washes you and makes you clean from all the sins that you've done in the past. It cleanses your life. It makes you a new creature in Him. But there's a place to get to of living in righteousness that's not going to do it. That's not enough. There's something more that has to happen in your life to lead you into the paths of righteousness. There's a vehicle called the Holy Spirit. That's why He had to leave, because He wanted to see His righteousness manifested in all of our lives. And there's other verses in the Bible that will bear that out, okay? That the Holy Spirit is how that's going to be accomplished. Just being washed from my sins, that washes me from everything I've ever done. But if I'm going to stay that way and stay clean and dwell in righteousness and live in righteousness, there is no way for it to be accomplished throughout my life except that I'm led by the Spirit. And ultimately, that means a submission to God to allow Him to come in and dwell in me and take over in my life. No longer can I be just, I'm washed clean so I can just enjoy my life like it is. No, I'm going to have to be willing to submit to His Spirit in my life to allow Him to have control and take over and begin to work. Because otherwise, I'm not going to end up walking in the paths of righteousness. I'm going to fall short over and over. And I'm not talking about, I made a mistake over here. I mean falling to sin. It's going to happen in my life. That's why He said, tarry ye in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. How did that power come to them? It came to them through the Holy Spirit. That was not just for a manifestation. That was for them to be able to walk in His righteousness, that His righteousness would be fulfilled in their lives. So the vehicle to live in holy before the Lord is the Holy Spirit in our lives, dwelling in us. Once again, we can listen to it. We never would come to the Lord if we weren't listening to the Holy Spirit of God. It's what calls us to Him. But at some point, we have to let it come in and dwell. There's another level of letting Him take over in our life and seeking Him to lead us and guide us that enables us to follow on in His righteousness. We, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. And specifically here, if you also look at this, he's contrasting that to these actions they were taking to try to prove their righteousness. Actions they were taking in the flesh. And he was saying, it's not going to be accomplished by that anymore. It's going to be accomplished by the Spirit of God working inside of you. So the Holy Spirit is the one who can lead us. The Lord has set Him up to be our guide in the paths of righteousness. Any thoughts about that?
Well, one thing as you're speaking here that made me think of, in 2 Corinthians, it says, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit killeth life.
Amen. That's true. Well, I've got one more verse, so just to finish this up, maybe we'll go ahead and do this and then give room. The fourth thing that I wanted to read, we're going to read the verses first, and then I'll write it on the board. Can somebody read Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8? So life everlasting is the ultimate blessing of all the blessings that God's given to us. So basically this verse is telling us that it's through the Spirit that we open up the path of blessings. Mm-hmm. Not just that we are able to walk now in His righteousness, but we also open a path of blessing into our life that only comes through allowing His Holy Spirit to work in our lives. So we open up. Blessings. We can hear it, we can follow it, but until the Lord really dwells in us by His Holy Spirit, we're not going to experience the depth of the blessings that the Lord truly has for us in this life. All this being said, let's read Luke 11 and 13 to close here. All right. Maybe we can just all read this together. Let's read. All right. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? So anytime that Satan comes along, he has used confusion and all to prevent the Holy Spirit from working in our life or prevent somebody from even knowing that the Holy Spirit's already working in your life. I think there are some cases where the Holy Spirit's already working and somebody's waiting for something specific so much that they can't see the Holy Spirit. So it's always good just to come back to this point. Are you willing to submit to the Lord? Are you willing to listen to whatever He does? You are a candidate for the Holy Spirit. If you are saved and you're ready to follow Him, whatever He may call you to do in life, you're willing to learn how to lay it down and let Him have His way with you. And I'm not just talking about overseas. I'm talking about in your life. Laying down your impatience, like the Lord put on my heart the other night. Laying down your own thoughts. Laying down your own wisdom. If you're willing to truly give Him that kind of access to your life, then you're truly asking the Lord for His Holy Spirit, whether you realize you are or not. And the Lord will give you His Holy Spirit in your life. He will fill you with His Spirit when you're in that place. All right. Pray for me.